Episode 105, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and Snatch. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
What was that?
This is Adam.
It's been so long.
Wow. And we're the Backseat Producers.
We're still the Backseat Producers? That's
great. We are. We haven't changed names yet, again.
That's fantastic.
All right. So,
hang on a second. Let me do this before somebody sends me a DM. Right, well, and
while you do that, I'll do my quick point of business.
All right.
Next week we're watching Jurassic Park.
Yay!
Business over.
And all this came about because of a random tweet.
Because John Williams is the man.
No, before that, you said Life Finds a Way.
Oh, is that what this is from? I thought it was because Lachlan and I were talking about John Williams.
No, before that, you said Life Finds a Way to Phil, I think.
No, it was Joe.
To Joe, that's right.
Because I said, I'm going to make fun of you tomorrow, and he's like...
So basically, the reason we're watching it is because of unpredictability.
Yeah.
Yes.
That a butterfly flaps its wings and we're watching Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I'm
exactly.
I'm in for that. All that's right. Good. That's I like right. That. Joe, I'm going to make fun of you. What are you going to make fun of me about? I don't know. Life Finds a Way, Joe. Life Finds a Way.
That is from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well, and I recognized the quote from being from Jurassic Park and mentioned it. Then a conversation started about John Williams.
Yeah, it was a long series of events that led us to Jurassic Park, but that's not why we're here tonight.
A butterfly flapping its wings.
That's right.
It really was.
That's all still right. Not why we're here tonight.
No, it's not.
Why are we here tonight, Adam?
You like the dogs?
I like the what?
Oh, dogs. I like dogs.
You like dags?
I like dags.
My favorite part about Snatch is Brad Pitt being incomprehensible. And the only reason Guy Ritchie put him in the movie was because he received complaints about Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels about how no one could understand any of the characters.
See, I had heard something different. I had heard that Brad Pitt was such a fan of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and he approached Guy Ritchie and said, I want to be in your next movie. And Guy Ritchie said, fine, and went to cast him and realized he couldn't do a London accent. So he cast him as Mickey the Gypsy and gave him that ridiculous accent because he couldn't do a London accent.
All right, well, let's start with Lock, Stock because chronologically it's the first movie.
It is the first movie. Though, interestingly enough, there's really not a tie between these two movies.
There isn't, no. Even the same characters who appear in both are different people.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Big Chris becomes Bullet Tooth Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Statham becomes From Something to Turkish.
Bacon. He was Bacon in Lock, Stock.
Bacon Turkish, yeah.
So same actors, different characters. The only tie between the two that I could see was Vinny Jones' character. Was it Vinny Jones?
Yeah.
He played
the same type of character.
It played the same type of character, and there was one scene that he played the same way, and it was the slam in the head in the door
thing. Yeah.
Other than that, there was really no tie between the two at all.
Yep, I agree.
Same feel.
It's the same.
Same style.
It's almost the same movie.
Yeah.
Which I was okay with. I enjoyed the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which, what else has he done besides those
Guy Ritchie
movies? Yeah, I don't know his filmography.
I'm not sure.
That's the right word.
His body of work. Without the video, nobody can see us sitting and staring at the chat room.
This is true.
Rock and Rolla and Out to Sea. I haven't seen either of those movies.
Neither have I.
Oh, Rock and Rolla.
So I haven't seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
You're not
Barrels.
From Missouri, are you?
So
you haven't seen Lock, Stock?
No.
That's pretty much Snatch.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Snatch, so I guess I've seen Lock, Stock.
The style of the movies are the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say very similar, but they're really the same. The real quick cut, giving you just enough of the story in vignettes to keep the pace really fast.
Yep.
If you're not paying attention, you could get lost really quickly. You miss whole characters.
Yeah.
If you're only halfway paying attention to the movie, you're going to miss whole characters.
I had to back it up.
Yeah.
And I've seen both movies before several times. I had to back it up. I'm like, oh, this is going to be such... Actually, I'm kind of glad Daryl's not here tonight, because Daryl likes to do the entire plot, and I don't think I could do the entire plot.
Yeah, the plots are pretty it's thick.
I mean, it's one story, but they jump around a lot in the timing, so it's like, if you try and retell the story, you just end up telling the story front to back.
Yeah.
You can't tell it as it appears in the narrative. I can't.
Well, and it's to me, watching this movie had a very similar feel to reading a novel. Both of these movies. Mm-hmm. In that novels, you can tend to suspend your need to follow what's going on with other characters if you just encapsulize a moment, you focus on certain characters, then jump to other characters and what they're doing at the exact same time or at a similar period of time. And with this, it kind of had that same feel where all these characters were just jumping through their moments, but you could tell they were all heading somewhere.
Right.
Not exactly sure where they were heading.
I don't know about Lockstock, but Snatch always revolves around the diamond.
Right.
Everything revolves around that.
And Lockstock, everything revolved around these two guns.
Okay.
Well,
it kind of did.
It was
in the end, you realize that it revolved around the guns. But if you at a first
as you're
viewing,
watching it, a bunch of money goes. These guys get into this bad deal, where basically they bet a whole bunch of money, and in a poker game, and the game is fixed because the guy they're playing against wants to buy out one of the guy's dad's bar.
Okay.
So he ends up screwing them out of the money, and then he goes to their dad and says, "Hey, if your kid can't pay, we're going to kill him unless you give us your bar."
Right. Okay.
So
great cameo
by Sting.
Sting plays the dad owning the bar.
Nice.
Very and he played a really good dramatic role. Very much not his fade from Dune.
You don't have to take my bar tonight.
Nothing like that.
So one of the things that I love about both of these movies is the conversation flow. It's real quick, and it's like, it's almost like you're reading a novel, and they it's obvious that somebody has written these lines for them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The way that they're delivered, it's like just everyday conversations
yes.
with these people.
I like how, because we talked about it as Kevin Smith, even though Kevin Smith's movies are very well written, sometimes you feel like they are reciting the lines, at least in his early films.
Yes.
You feel like they're just reciting the lines, and in Snatch, at least, and probably in Lockstock.
Yeah.
You never feel like they're reciting it. It's always fully in the characters, you know.
Yeah.
It's very much
and they have some really great visual gags, like Tommy, Fat Tommy.
Yeah.
He's a skinny guy. You've been eating too much, eh, Tommy, have you?
Yeah.
They're always making
in Snatch when Benicio del Toro is on the phone. Every time it flips to the guy in America and flips back, he's in a different suit. Completely different suit. Same conversation, no break.
And the thing with the two fighters, it's like, y'all exactly current affairs, are you, Tommy? Mad Dog went mad. And they show him, like, stepping up, like, and a gun shot himself. And it's just, like, stuff like that. It's, you know. And
Jason Statham, I think Lock, Stock was his first big movie.
Was it?
That makes sense. Right. And considering the badass action star that he is, he doesn't really come off as that guy in these movies. He doesn't. He comes off as kind of a slime ball.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I mean,
don't know if he's a real slime ball in Snatch. I think he's kind of a...
He sets up illegal boxing matches.
Yeah, but I mean, there's... I guess because...
What I'm saying is he's not a badass action star. He is a con man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
He's not the Jason Statham that he is
fighting in Snatch. And,
I mean, there's no cranked action.
The only action
in the name of the King, which is a movie we need to do because it is so god awful. But it has so many good name actors.
I know, it's
what
amazing. That is incredible.
What happened?
Burt Reynolds,
Gimli, John Rhys Davies. Come on,
John Rhys Davies is in that. Yeah,
what's
he's
his
in
name?
A lot of stuff.
Goodfellas. Ray Liotta.
Yeah, Ray Liotta. It's like so many great actors.
I've seen
and then
it.
They just produce like the steaming pile. How does
it's
that happen?
It's horrible.
I liked the Transporter. I mean, it was a bit cheesy, but I liked it. You know.
And I mean, that's kind of Jason Statham's thing now, is that he's the action guy.
Right.
The only action sequence he has is when they're getting drunk at the end of
Lockstock,
and he does a backflip, a drunken backflip in the bar.
Is that really him?
No.
I don't know. Might not have been him.
It's not really him.
It was Ozzie Smith.
It was.
It was Ozzie Smith.
In white face.
It was a double. Very convincing.
So I adore the dialogue of the movies, just because it can go from such... It's something that, with the accents, you have to sit down and think about, because the accents are dreadful. And I'm convinced this is intentional. Because Jason Statham in other movies, you can understand him.
See, I had no problem understanding any of them in this movie. I even understood Brad Pitt for the most part.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the first time you hear him speak, it's like, what in the hell is he saying? And the joke is that nobody else can understand him. But I mean, after a minute or two, it wasn't tough.
I thought it was tough, and I love that there are a lot.
That's why we have subtitles, as Tallulah points out. In the chat room earlier, she said something about you can understand everything Brad Pitt says if you have the subtitles on when he's talking.
This is a hard episode to do without swearing. Just gonna put that on the table.
Because we never go explicit ever.
What? Yeah. What? Proper fucked? So. Ah, damn it. The movie's
tags on.
I planned on it. I don't think that the movies are intended to be comedies.
I think they are.
I don't.
Really?
I think that
Snatch has got to be a comedy. What else is Snatch? It's not a comedy.
I think
it's not a drama.
It's more of an action movie. Snatch is.
It's an action movie, but it's definitely got a tongue in cheek feel.
The whole opening.
See,
scene?
I think maybe Lockstock was maybe not intended in its original written form to be a comedy, but the way it plays as a dark comedy.
It does. Oh, I mean, there's
and
so many
Snatch,
scenes that
and see in Snatch, it really Snatch feels like the remake of Lockstock, but like every rough edge that Lockstock had was smoothed out with Snatch.
Yeah,
Snatch is just it's an easier movie to follow. It's not. It doesn't jump around quite as much. It stays with the characters a little bit longer.
There's less characters.
There are fewer characters. We get introduced to them the same really quick way.
Yeah. So you don't really get a good sense about how they're all interplay. And it does tie up nicely at the end, just the way that Lockstock does.
One of the nice things about all those characters, even in Lockstock, though, is that they're all unique. They all have their own voice. You know, they're all very different characters. They're very different people, and they're played that way. It's not, you know, a cookie cutter of a bunch of, you know, London gangsters, that they're all playing the same, you know, mafioso-type characters, like you see in a lot of American gang movies, where it's like, you know, you either have the street thug black gangster movies or the made men Italian gangster movies. Where
black
all the
guy gangster was hysterical.
Yes. Yes.
You can keep this guy. We can't carry him out of here. But I love the reason I don't think it's a comedy is that I think that a comedy is unintentional. The whole opening scene with Jason Statham, where he's walking around with Tommy and he's talking about the fight and whatever, and the dude in the background is cooking the sausages. And he's like,
that's supposed to be funny, though.
I don't.
It is.
It's unintentionally funny. I think it's funny.
I don't think it is. I think it is intentionally funny.
It's like, he's like 5 minutes turkey.
No,
like
two minutes.
It's like, how long are the sausages? 5 minutes turkey. He said 2 minutes 5 minutes ago. I mean, come on. That stuff is great. How can that not be intended to be funny?
And I don't think
what's wrong? What's wrong with the caravan? Pulls the door off.
No, not Tommy. It's tip top. I'm just not sure about the color.
And this is why I think that Jason Statham got a bad rap, because he's awesome in Lock, Stock, mm-hmm. and Snatch, and now he's doing the Transporter.
Yeah, well, the Transporter made him big, though. The Transporter made him like mainstream action.
The Transporter and Crank and all those. I mean,
those series.
I had a guy telling me at a pizza joint. I was getting some pizza with my brother, and we were talking about movies, and he was listing all the movies he owned that he thought were awesome. I swear, they were all Jason Statham movies with the letters 1 or the numbers 1, 2, and 3 behind them. So, I mean, you got to go back to the trough and, you know, make your dollars, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the name of the kid. That's what I got.
But you know what, though? Kevin Smith always joked with Ben Affleck that he did the same thing. He'd make a money movie, and then he'd make an art movie. You know, he'd go make.
And Statham's been in more than just action.
Oh yeah,
but that's his.
You make a movie for money. You make a movie for money, then you go make a Kevin Smith flick.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
I gave Zach and Mary to my boss. By the way,
did you?
I did. Dodges a missile in his kitchen.
I liked, even though the Transporter was cheesy, I liked it. I thought the Transporter was a good movie. I liked that movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, though.
Transporter is a film movie. Fast car and explosions.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but anyway.
All right, so where are we going with this?
I wasn't going anywhere with it.
All right. Where do we ever go?
Yeah, where do we ever go?
Well, I would like to talk about my favorite character from Snatch.
Okay.
Bricktop.
Bricktop was awesome.
Bricktop is my favorite character.
Which one is Bricktop?
He's Snatch. The guy who runs the fight.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He has the biggest lines.
The biggest glasses.
Yes. The biggest glasses and the yellowest teeth of anybody.
And those are legitimately... Those glasses are thick. And you can tell looking at his eyes that it's like... You should be able to see, like, daylight behind him, but all you still see is eyeball because the lenses are so refracted.
So lay it down on my Bricktop.
Man... I forget. I know my favorite scene. My favorite scene is him describing
the pigs to the black guy.
Just pawn that diamond or whatever, and then he ends with that's where you get the fries as crazy as a pig. It's like, well, thank you for that.
Thank you for that. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, man. But I forget, what's the first time you see him? Even the first time you see him, it's great. It's like they're walking through a pig trough, aren't
they?
Yeah, and he's feeding pigs.
God, it's great. He is the best character,
every
man.
Every time Tommy talks, he's like, oh, that fucking talk. The fuck gave him a voice?
I forget what happens to you, Bricktop. Does he actually get killed in the end? I know Brad Pitt's guys like waste everybody, but does it Bricktop actually die?
I think he does.
I don't know. I didn't get there.
I believe so.
Every line he has, man, is just no thanks, Turkish. I'm sweet enough.
that was the best. Yep. You take sugar? No thanks, Turkish. I'm sweet enough.
Put a collar on him. He's talking about it. Turkish's sidekick. I forget.
Tommy.
Yeah. It's like, you better put a collar on him, Turkish. I can't remember the line. Oh, it's so good, though. He basically calls Tommy, like, a girl dog pretty much the entire time.
The first scene you see him in, they're at the boxing ring. They're at the boxing ring.
Right.
He's watching two guys fight, and then two of the guys behind him are, I don't know, one of the guys is like, blah, 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 he disrespected you, boss. And he's like, hey, can you get your tongue out of my ass?
What's the line he says in the fight that gets thrown? He says, if I fay you a bone, I don't want to know what it tastes like. And then he, like, shivs him, doesn't he?
Well, he walks away. Like, he's walking away from the fight after it gets thrown. And then some guy's like, fuck you, Bricktop. You gave me the inside deal, man. Whatever.
Yeah,
and then he's
if
I see you in my way again, I'm going to cut your balls off. And then I think he cuts his balls off anyway.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he does. Okay. Oh, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not actually going anywhere with this. So.
One of the interesting things is most of the. I mean, for how violent the movies are, you don't see a lot of death.
No,
It mostly takes place off screen.
Yep. It was the same way with Lockstock.
Yeah.
The equivalent character in Lockstock, the first they introduce him to talk about how big of a badass he is, and he's like, have you heard what that fucking guy did? This guy didn't pay, and so he's sitting there and he grabs the closest fucking instrument to bludgeon this guy.
Wait. But what you have to understand about this character is at one point they walk into his office and it says something like his name, like Porn King or something like that.
Porn King. So he's sitting at his desk, and his desk's got like a computer on it. It's got a bunch of books, some notebooks, and then there's like an array of 6-7 dildos. So
different sizes and shapes and colors.
So they do the snatch thing, where like they freeze frame. And so the freeze frame is, and he just grabbed the closest thing he could, and so it's him jumping over the table, holding this huge black dildo, and then the shot is from behind, and you just see him beating something with the dildo.
He bludgeoned him to death with it.
Oh my god.
And apparently that was a good way to go, because normally he likes people to hurt, and that's why they call him the Hatchet.
So he's called the Hatchet in that one?
Yeah.
I have to rent this.
Lockstock is good.
Lockstock
is clever.
I thought Snatch, you know, Guy Ritchie, it's the only movie I've seen by him, but I thought there were a couple of awesome stylistic choices. Like, when Brad Pitt seems to be going down for real in that last fight, and they have the brilliant idea. It's one of the best. I mean, I love Raging Bull.
Right.
I'm going to say, I think I've said that every episode that I've been on here. But anyway, I love Raging Bull, and it's like the best like filmed boxing scene ever. But Snatch has that awesome idea where when the boxer is like, I guess, out of it, dropping him in like a tank of water.
Yeah.
And like creating that metaphor. And I just thought that was so awesome. And then unifying the metaphor of how he feels in the water, and then he punches out of the water, and then he comes out, and they cut to the actual scene. I just thought that was awesome. That's like one of the best filmed boxing sequences.
There was a sequence at the beginning of Lockstock when, and what they do is there's four buddies who are in on this scheme, and their scheme is we're each going to raise $25,000. One of us is going to go play in this poker match. And gonna win us some more money. That's how we're gonna get money. So he goes, plays in the poker match. It's all a cheat. They've got a video camera behind him watching his cards. So and there's another guy watching a video, tapping out messages on the heel of the guy he's playing against, so he knows exactly what cards he's playing. So I mean, it's a complete cheat. He's gonna lose, but he starts winning really big. He gets to a point where if he would have walked away, that would have been fine. But he keeps going, and they get him. Get him so much, and he gets him betting so high that he gets to a point where if he doesn't bet anymore, he's walking away with nothing. But if he calls, I love Raging Bull, take a drink.
Mark it 28 minutes into the episode before Tony makes a Scorsese.
It's true.
That's a long time. It's been a long time. So they get this going, and they get him to a point where if he doesn't call, he's lost everything. But he doesn't have anything to call with. So they go around the table, and he's with other high rollers. He needs £250,000, and he says, you know, who's going to loan it to him? And the guy he's betting against is, I'll loan it to you. Like, no. That's not the part of the deal. Well, he pretty much has to take it. And he gets beat. And then they do this stylistic thing where they have the camera just focused on him. And they show him standing up and looking like he's going to get sick. And it's just, it's like those cameras that you see on runners where it's like attached to him with a stick. And it's just on their face.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that same thing. So you as he's walking around and wobbling, you get kind of that same motion sick feel, but all you see is his face. It's this really, you get the feeling that, oh my god, I'm going to be sick along with this guy for what he's just lost. And I mean, at one point he actually does go out and barf in the street. Yeah. But I mean, that was another stylistic choice they made.
The cinematography in these movies are excellent.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, because
editing is good,
quick,
the directing, yeah.
It's, you know, another point, though, you said the humor is unintentional. I got to argue
think
with
humor
it.
Is intentional.
I got to argue with it, especially the sequence in Lockstock when they go to the guy to ask for advice on how to get money quickly. Mm-hmm. And he gives him the 6-week plan, which is fantastic. So he lays out this plan. He goes, all right, so here's what you do. And I don't remember the exact names that he was throwing out. He goes, all right, so you create a company. And the company's like...
Assfuckers Anonymous.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, cock-sucking Assfuckers Anonymous. All right? And you sell these... You're going to sell these sex toys to them and stuff. And you advertise all over the place for it. And you get them to send you $25. Or you're 25 pounds. You take in your 25 pounds, and you create another company. And you get them to send you the money under, like, a normal name, like, you know... And I don't remember what he says, but it was...
Appliances, et cetera, or something.
Yeah, it was something really white bread. You get them to send you the money that way so they don't feel bad about sending you the money. So then you wait a couple of weeks, and you tell them there's been shipment problems in the U.S., and they can't get their supply, so you cut them a check for the 25 pounds, but you send it to them from...
Assfuckers.
Because who's gonna want their banker to know that they're taking up the ass when they're paying their check? They're paying their bills.
It's like we have 4 days. What's your turnaround on that? Oh, 4 to 6 weeks. So that's not really gonna help us then. No. But it's a good idea.
I thought it was a great idea. I thought it was hilarious.
But it was hilarious.
I'm thinking
too.
That's awesome. How we gonna finance the next book.
That's okay. Yeah, that's the thing. Why do we choose honest question in the title?
You could send your checks to Unasked Question.
So, no, there isn't any real humor there at all, Stingray. You're just reading into it. It's funnier. I think it's funnier than they intended.
Let's put that. I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so.
I don't know if anyone intends something to not be that funny. Like, I mean, when you're trying to make a joke... I mean, you really trying to intend? You know what I mean? Like
the sausages thing. The sausages thing isn't exactly the height of comedic. Well, by that argument, every joke would be the height of comedic humor.
No, but I think the point is something's either funny or it's not. How it hits somebody, how it hits an individual person.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it hits harder than they intended.
I gotta be honest. I didn't expect us to get into the science of comedy when I found out we were going to be talking about Snatch and Lockstock.
I didn't even think you were going to be here. So we're all of a kilter, huh? We're all askew.
Well,
yes, I realize awesome. You told me you were going to be here. Yes, I realize I forgot.
Yeah. The parking scene is fantastic. Come on.
I think. I don't think it's funny that he hit the car. I think the dialogue is funny.
The dialogue is what's funny, yeah. It's like, it was behind me.
No,
well,
shit.
That's what happens.
When you back up. And then shit gets closer.
Yeah.
It's too tight. It's like almost half a block between the two cars.
Even the scene where they show him getting out of the car, like, it's just like they show him getting out, show the reaction, still getting out, the reaction, and then him finally getting out.
He's the getaway guy? Yeah. What the hell's he gonna get away from?
Yeah. Yeah, man, come on. It's awesome. It's classic.
It's really funny, Jeff. Really funny. Unintentionally so, but really funny. Don't have the dog dribbling in the seat. It's a Tyrone, it's a stolen car. Yeah, but when I'm driving, it's my car.
Yeah, man. It's every scene in that movie is pretty much great. Except the scene where they sick the dog. Is it the dogs or the pigs they sick on Tyrone?
It's the dogs.
It's the dogs. And then they send two dogs out over on a hare. And that seems kind of, I think, to my I'm like, whoa, that's pretty, you know.
Oh, the rabbit gets away. It's not proper fucked.
Well, I know, but Tyrone doesn't get away, even though he's the getaway.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I love that the
squeaking dog.
The squeaking dog was
hilarious.
Funny. And then the two black guys who try to knock over the bookie station, and then they think they're locked in.
Yeah,
but the door's a pull, and they keep pushing it.
What about The Russian, Boris.
Boris the Blade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's great. He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
He's even the bum in Batman Begins.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He was in The Saint as well.
Yeah.
Saint's a good movie. We should talk about it.
You'll have to have Armand over for that one. Because that's the eternal fight between myself and my brother.
You don't like The Saint?
No, he loves The Saint.
Oh.
I think it's horrible. Oh. I think it's a horrible, horrible movie.
I don't remember The Saint. I know I've seen it, but I don't remember
Val Kilmer? Elizabeth Shue?
If you don't remember it, that doesn't...
I always remember Elizabeth Shue. I just don't remember anything
Elizabeth
else.
Elizabeth Shue's
sure. I mean, yeah, there was one good scene that Elizabeth Shue was in. But that doesn't make a movie.
You know what? You could clip all the scenes of Elizabeth Shue and turn that into a movie, and I would watch it every day.
That's true. But unless you're going to call that movie The Saint...
You can call it whatever you want. Movie. I'll still watch it every day.
Heavenly
Especially
Bodies.
If it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
I can watch it at work
that's
every
a good
day.
Point.
Hulu is awesome.
Saint Shue.
Hulu is awesome. They're starting to put movies on Hulu, too.
Really?
Yeah. They've had that's movies on great. Hulu for a little while.
I don't know.
Old TV shows. I watched some old Twilight Zone on Hulu.
Nice.
Like the original?
Yeah. And now I don't even have to wait for my queue for my, you know, television show.
You can create a queue on Hulu.
Really?
So, like, when you're done with one episode, the next one starts playing?
That's the greatest piece of software that is around right now.
It's because they're aliens, dude. That's the
reason. That is pretty clever marketing.
I like that marketing.
Alec Baldwin.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yep.
What were we talking
Buck
about?
Rogers.
We were supposed to be talking about Snatch and Lockstock, but...
We're not talking about porn. We don't talk about porn here.
Movie. Speaking of, so a little bit of a side tangent since you got me on the porn.
Okay, God forbid we go on a tangent.
So there is allegedly a porno called Super Hornio Brothers.
You've been talking about this rumored movie for years.
It's mythical,
right?
It's mythical. So something awful has been on the kick where they're like, we're gonna find this porno. Yeah, okay. It's not like I've been looking for the last decade, okay? So good luck with that. So one of the guys I work with, I'm walking out of my office, and he's like, dude, I found Super Hornio Brothers 2. And I was like, Super Hornio Brothers 2 is not Super Hornio Brothers. That's some porn director heard about the legend of Super Hornio Brothers and then made Super Hornio Brothers 2 to cash in on the fame. He got duped. He's like, oh, man, for bringing it in.
Tangent, take a drink.
True.
You're out.
I am out. But I'm going to stop at this one.
I'm getting close. All right.
Anyway. So, Super Hornio Brothers does not actually exist.
It still doesn't actually exist.
It still doesn't actually
Update. Exist. It still doesn't exist.
Still is mythical. So, back to Snatch
and
Lockstock.
What were we saying? Okay.
Vinnie Jones is really funny in both movies.
Who's he?
He is Bullet Tooth Tony.
Bullet Tooth Tony.
Okay.
And Big Chris.
Yeah. And he likes bashing people's head in car doors.
In car doors. That's one of his last scenes in Lockstock, and it's his first scene in Snatch.
Right. It's the first time you see him. He's just bashing
the
dude's
guy's head. The phone rings. Bonjour.
I liked in Lockstock the play between him and his son.
Mm.
So he's got this, probably what, 11-year-old?
11-year-old kid.
That's his son.
It looks
that's going. That's going around and doing all this
everything
stuff.
Everything he does
him.
With him. And, like, so he's got, like, the leather jacket and, like, the white shirt. He's got, like, the crew cut and, like, chains and stuff. The kid has the same haircut, the same jacket, the same shirt, the same chains. Looks just like him. And, like, every time that he goes around, he beats people up, the kid's there. When he goes and he does the business deals with the guy, the kid's there and asks the questions. How much is this going to pay us?
And then at one point, he's bashing this dude in a tanning booth. He's just, so you're going to, bam! come on, you're going to let me out? Bam! He just keeps slamming
so
it on him.
The kid says, you shut your fucking mouth, and he's like, hey! You watch that language or beat the shit out of you.
The kid, he has the kid. He has the kid go rifle through the guy's belongings. Look, he's like, yeah, he's got a lot of money. And that's just what's in his wallet. You know, finding all this stuff. Then he goes over and starts swearing. And then Dad berates him. Just after he instructs him to go look through the guy's
just
stuff.
Swearing. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Sweet.
I think all we've done is do one-liners from these two movies.
Probably.
This is what happens every time we do a comedy.
Yeah.
Which proves that it is a comedy.
God damn it.
Your assertion is failing.
Isn't that scene awesome thing?
We are doing the isn't that scene awesome. You know what? I don't care. These movies deserve that isn't that scene awesome thing.
Yeah, they do. All right. So how...
Adam slash David, like slash
Rick. It's A David. Come on, guys.
I'm going to have sex with myself.
Are we going to do some slash fiction now? Slash porn? All right. So the endings of both of the movies.
Let's do Lockstock, because I don't remember the ending of Snatch.
Okay, so the ending of Lockstock.
You get Snatch is the same as the beginning.
I don't remember what the beginning was.
All right, Lockstock.
Lockstock.
So, Lockstock is this convoluted... I mean, if you try to describe the plot, Daryl would have... He would still be trying to describe the plot of Lockstock.
I know, which is why I'm glad that...
It's a mess. It really is.
I like how Stingray says that Adam David slash Vic is creepy, yet he was the one who slept last night and had a dream about my package. So, so the plot
I got nothing to add to that.
The plot is convoluted. And so
yes,
trying
is.
To wrap it up in the end is difficult at best. But it's a comedy of errors. For the guys who owe the money, they don't understand that some guns that they purchased to kind of look menacing for a heist they pulled are worth £250,000.
Each
so
gun.
It's $500,000 that they've got.
And they paid $700 for the pair. And it's worth $500,000, what they have. So, and all they look at these guns as is liability at this point. Because they're basically muskets. They're single shot rifles that, you know, at best, and they're both double barrels. So, you know, you've got... You know, in 4 minutes you can get off 5 shots if you're lucky. You know, you've got the first 4 shots. After that, you're pretty much screwed. And so they're. I mean, they look at these guns through the whole movie as a liability.
Right.
But we. I mean, you learn pretty early on in the movie that these guns are valuable.
Mm.
I mean, the big bad guy is after him. That's what he wants. So
it turns out
they owe all this money. They owe £500,000.
I can sum up the plot real quick.
Go for it.
Perfect.
Do it.
So the big guy who owns the debt.
I'm going to shake my eyes and drink.
Who owns the debt hires these two guys to go steal the guns.
Okay.
They steal the guns but sell them not knowing how much they're worth.
Okay.
Through a series of events, the main characters buy the guns and then they use them for whatever.
Right.
So eventually the guns get taken back from the main characters and brought to the big bad. But the two guys he'd hired to get them, he's told to go get the guns from whoever has them. So when they roll into the building where they know the guns are, they go in guns blazing, but it's the guy who hired them to get the guns who has the gun. And so there's like this scene that's awesome where the guy pulls out his pistols and he kicks open the door and he walks in and the dude who hired him is holding the shotgun. But they don't know what each other looks like. And so it's just this, like, maybe 35, 45 seconds of the guy holding the gun, and then he looks down at it, and then the guy with the pistols is standing there, and he looks at the pistols, and it's just, like, back and forth, and then and then they both just blow each other away.
That is awesome.
Well, no, he shoots the one guy, and then the hatchet...
He shoots the one guy, and then there's another guy in the room that he didn't see.
Who has a hatchet.
Who knows what the other guy looks at like. He hatches
what
the him
fuck
in the back,
are you doing
and then the
here?
Guy shoots him, and then they turn around, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? What the fuck are you doing here? So everybody in the room is dead.
And, yeah, I mean, it's very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
There's only, like, 5 people alive of like, the 20 in the cast.
Yeah.
There's only about five or six of them that are still alive at the end of the movie.
So the main characters come in, and they see this. The money's there, and the guns are there, and they're like, what the fuck? So, they see
the guns. They get the guns, they get the bag, and they leave. Because they need the guns because they think that they're tied to the guns. So they get the bag, they get the money, and they leave.
One guy takes the bag and leaves. The other guy is getting the guns.
Yeah.
He's cleaning the guns or whatever. And so Vinnie Jones walks in with the bag, and he's like, So there's like the stare down, and then so everybody saves face, they all just leave by separate doors.
The ending, though, the very ending of the movie, Vinnie Jones hands the four guys. Basically, it's a Sotheby's auction. They changed the name of it. A booklet, a brochure from whatever this auction house is, and it's all the guns. So they look through it and they see the guns are in there for $250,000 each.
But they've been riding one of the guys they were with because he kept the guns. The police came, they questioned him, and they're like, "You still have the fucking guns in your car? The only thing that links us to any of this? Go fucking throw those off a bridge!" And so the ending scene of the movie is he's on the bridge and he's dropped them, but there's a support strut for the bridge, and they're like half on it, half over the water, and he's reaching out to push him down, and then his phone starts ringing.
No, his phone is in his mouth because he had his phone and he didn't know how to have his phone, so he puts his phone in his mouth. So he's holding it like this. He's holding onto a support structure and reaching down, and his phone starts ringing. And he has his hand on the guns, and that's when the credits roll.
That's awesome.
It's great. It was a great ending.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Vinnie Jones basically has a much bigger role than he does in the second.
I think he has more screen time in Snatch.
Really?
Maybe, but he comes into it a lot later.
Yeah. You're introduced to him earlier.
There's a lot more characters in Lockstock. There's a lot of characters in Lockstock. There's whole parts of the story that we haven't talked about. There are drug dealers who are there's a group who are making the drugs. Then there's the dealers. And they're tied to the guy who has the money, but the four guys decide that they're going to steal the drugs, the pot from the drug dealer and sell it back to him. I mean, it's like it's this ridiculously convoluted plot.
It's as complicated
all
as
all of these characters
with more characters.
But there's more characters. Yeah, I mean, Snatch is a little more straightforward because they probably have about 75% of the number of characters in Snatch as they do in Lockstock.
And the story's simpler.
And the story is a little more straightforward because there's fewer characters.
There's only one MacGuffin.
Yeah, they spend more time on like the fight and the characters of Mickey and the gypsies.
Right.
The gypsies. They're funny. I mean, I love what they see
with the gypsies where they pull up and like Brad Pitt's looking over the car, and you think he's just crouched down, and like he squats, and then he pulls up his pants.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it took me on like the second viewing to realize, oh, yeah, he's not just standing back there.
It's a great movie. I'll see Lock, Stock.
Update: Warhammer has found Warner Brothers number 2. And a movie poster. Apparently, we have a link in the chat room to the movie poster.
That's for Super Horny Brothers 2. I defy you to find the original. Look, I'm a resourceful individual. I have not yet found it. It does not exist.
He is one with the Googles.
I'm one with the Googles and the porn. The prawns.
The prawns?
The prawns. Listen, Fleshlight is following me on Twitter. Can anybody else say that? I don't think so. King prawns. All right. So.
Yeah, but I was the one that had my quote hit a.
You got
a
that
sex
follower
caller.
From me. Don't even start.
I did.
I got that follower from Stingray.
Hey, you know what? She was in the chat room once too. So there.
Well, Warhammer. I've also seen some actual play from Duke Nukem Forever. So, what do you think about that? Anyway, so the ending of Snatch. I don't really remember what the ending of Snatch was. So somebody explain it to me.
Okay, so the ending of Snatch was the big blowout.
Yeah, the big fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then basically, it turns out the gypsy was taking all the bets against him and cleaning up everyone. And then he wastes Bricktop's gang, and he wastes all the rival factions. And then Statham and Tommy, I don't know his real name, they find the dog, and they take the dog. For some reason, I guess because they feel like, well, we came out ahead, we got the dog at least.
Right.
And then they say they found a half-eaten shoe and something else.
They got the, well, one diamond. Of the, yeah, the, they had surgery on the dog because the dog squeaked.
That's right, yeah.
And when he get rid of it, and when they did that, they got the squeaky thing out, they got a half-eaten shoe, and they got the diamond. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, they changed the number of carats on the diamond in the end.
Really?
They said it was like a,
I didn't notice.
Because it was like a, I think they said it was like a 56-carat diamond or something like that. In the end, they said they found a 54-carat diamond.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. Weird. So then, like, the end sequence is where you see Statham in the beginning with Tommy, where he's like, don't diamonds come from Antwerp? Well, he's in that room getting the diamond, like, appraised. And then they call Dennis Farina, and then they show the quick shot of him, you know, getting on the plane, flying over, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So.
That whole opening scene with the, like, the long walk with the Jews was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing about the Bible and...
and they're arguing.
He's so, like...
Just because it's written there doesn't mean it's true.
And then they go into this whole thing and you're like, really? And you're like, listen, and then all of a sudden it's a bank robber. You're like, oh, come on.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Sophie Hirsch is what you're asking there, Stingray. I don't actually have anything else to say on these movies. They were both great.
Yeah, I haven't seen Lockstock, but I like Snatch. And
you'll like Lockstock.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
I'd like to also know what else Guy Ritchie does.
I thought he was doing something else sooner.
Rock and Rolla. That one was
rock
not...
Rock and Rolla.
Rock and Rolla.
Tony, Rock and Rolla.
that's about 2 hours from here.
Rolla?
Isn't it?
No, try again.
Two and a half?
Three.
From here,
from here is three.
I got a charger. It'll be two.
Fair enough.
Was it awful or was it awful?
That's a good point.
I want to be that guy today. Rich, what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I guess we're peacing out.
I guess so.
Seriously?
All right.
Yeah, that's
so,
probably good because I got to finish my Build for Speed submission badly.
I got to work out. Okay. Anybody in the chat room have any questions other than discussion about Super Hornio Brothers and various other pornographic topics?
Listen,
I see censored a lot in the chat room.
I don't know how to turn that off now.
I do too. I'm not going to worry about it right now.
I wouldn't. Oh, Warhammer. Don't even start with me. Warhammer.
I guess not. I guess nobody has any more questions.
I guess we'll see Jurassic Park next week.
Yeah, Jurassic Park next week.
We will release this in 2010.
Maybe.
That's very likely.
Hey, you coming back next week or what?
I would like to, and I think I will.
Well, I think the invitation's closed, and I think you should wait to be invited.
Unless something comes up.
All right, I'm stopping this at 48 minutes. My God.
It's a short episode. I'm fine with it.